good episode going up today. Episode 13, I believe it is. By myself on this one, so bear with me for any pauses or moments where I had to double check to make sure what I was saying wasn't bullshit. Appreciate you listening, rocking with me, all that good stuff. Available everywhere, wherever you listen, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, etc. This will be the final episode without video. From now on, there should be video as well uploaded into YouTube. Right now, it's just audio on YouTube. But moving forward, should be video. So I'm excited about that. Have a good weekend. If you enjoy this, then subscribe, leave some feedback, comment, say what's up, whatever it is. Links are in the description. All that good stuff. The game was great today. I'm so excited for Friday's game. I know everyone else is as well. So this episode is just recapping the game, talking about how everyone exceeded expectations or looked up to par so far. Talk about the Alex O'Connell, Jordan Goldwire, Trayvon Duval not dressing for the game today. Talk about RJ Barrett announcing next Friday and what we think about that. And a lot of other good juicy stuff, so enjoy it. I appreciate everyone. Thank you so much. Go Duke. Have a good weekend.
Time in two decades, college basketball has a repeat champion.
And Coach K is the proud father of three in more ways than one. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010. The Blue Devils are the national champions of 2015.
National championship number 5 for Mike Krzyzewski.
Just an unbelievable tournament performance by Coach K and his young Devils.
So it's Saturday, November 4th. The second final exhibition game has wrapped up. Final score 116-53. Whether you're playing a D1 school, a D2 school, or a middle school for that matter, that's a satisfying final score. We'll get into the game in a minute, talk numbers, takeaways, thoughts, statistics, looking ahead. It's just me today on this game recap, but that's all good. A few things I wanted to touch on. Of course, the whole Alex O'Connell, Jordan Goldwire, Trayvon Duval, all set out slash inactive slash suspended for the final exhibition game. If you want to look into that, if you don't know, now you know. I'm sure you probably already know. Due to academic issues, I think tardiness, skipping class, being late to class, things of that nature. You know, I mean, Coach K, he's strict on those things. That's why Duke is Duke. He's strict on that. We don't play around. You don't get rewarded like UNC players do for, you know, one of their best skills is skipping class and not attending real classes. At Duke, they have a really short fuse and a really short leash of doing things like this. You don't do it. You saw that firsthand. And yeah, oh, they're suspended for an exhibition game. Well, there's no real games right now. So, yeah, you can suspend them for an exhibition game. And what you have to hope is that they learn their lesson. You know, the Alex O'Connell and Jordan Goldwire came out after the Duval news came out. So, with that being said, Duval, a lot of people know he has this persona and this attitude like he's the shit. And he might be. I mean, you know, in high school, he'd dunk on anyone, score on anyone, do anything he wanted. Probably never got told no. it's a little different now. You're a freshman. You are one of the most highly touted freshmen, and you are expected to make a huge impact this year. But you can't blow off class. You can't, I mean, I'm not saying none of them are doing drugs or anything. You can't do drugs. You can't be acting crazy on social media. Those things aren't going to go under the radar for the most part, especially nowadays in the technology age. As easy as it is to find something out, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail about it or anything, but he's been seen doing things on social media, on Instagram story, on Snapchat, that I had seen before he committed to Duke. So all of that relaying back to now, you can see why something like this will be happening. I mean, I've been to college. I skip class. That's what you do. But for them, I mean, it just seems like there's a higher, you're being held to a higher standard, and therefore there's punishment to come if you do things like that. So those three set out this game. They were inactive. They were in polo shirts. My only thing for that is I just hope that they learned their lesson. I hope that they realize that they're being held to a higher standard, and to compete and to play and to start and to make an impact, then you have to fulfill the academic side. You have to fulfill the, you know, just the Duke way of being classy, being, you know, just everything about Duke. Class, work hard, don't act a fool. That's what you sign up for when you commit to Duke. They learned that pretty quick, I guess. So not looking too far into that. Hope they learn their lesson now. Hope everybody sees that and we can move on from that. Not going to be a problem anymore. On to the game. Like I said, 116-53 is the final score. At one point, I think they were up 20-3. The game was pretty much over from that point, in my opinion. You know, statistics, everyone looked good, in my opinion. I mean, everyone. Every single person that got on the floor tonight, I really have no complaints. I don't think anybody has any complaints. Bagley had 25 points. Wendell Carter had 23 points. Gary Trent Jr. had 22 points. Grayson Allen had 21 points. That's four players above 20. If we did that every game, we go undefeated. Especially at the percentage that we are scoring, the field goal percentage. You know, and the point totals honestly aren't even the most exciting thing. The most exciting thing to me is the way we are scoring, the way the team is moving the ball, and the offensive rebounds. And the reason why I paused there is because I really don't have a most exciting aspect of this team right now, because there's so many things exciting. You know, this is a blowout. This is an exhibition game. The talent level, the size level that they're playing against, same thing from last game, it's not up to par with what they're going to play. You know, it's not even close to Elon, which is going to be the first game. It's not in the same universe as Michigan State, which we will also be playing in November real quick. So for that aspect, yeah, you understand why they bully these teams. You understand why they kill these teams. You understand why they're putting up these big numbers. But the exciting thing is everyone looks healthy. Everyone looks extremely unselfish. And everyone looks like they're practicing good habits early. And you can't stress that enough. You go into this game, same way NBA teams go into games. Golden State goes in to play the Lakers. Oh, it's the Lakers. We're going to beat them by 40. We don't have to, you know, we don't really have to hustle. We throw up a couple threes, we're going to blow them out. And then they drop that game, especially when it's the beginning of the season, when, you know, it's a long season. It technically doesn't matter. Technically, you know, they're going to get the number one seed. They don't care too bad. They're in LA. Same thing can be said about this game. oh, who is Bowie State, how do you even pronounce them? You don't know one player on the team. It's an exhibition game. We're way bigger. We're way more talented. They could go into it like that, not hustle back on defense, not hustle for second chance points, offensive rebounds, not make the right play, make the selfish play. But I saw none of that, and I mean none of it. From the start of the game, everyone looked like they wanted to make the right play. They wanted to hustle. They wanted to distribute the ball. And that's practicing good habits early. And the thing with that is, you know, you got to practice good habits early, because when it matters, you've already been making the right plays. You've already been passing. You've already been passing out of the post. Out of the double. That's huge. We're not having as many turnovers as teams in the past. We're having way more assists, way higher field goal percentage. And everything that I'm talking about, yeah, we played two exhibitions. I'm going to keep repeating that. I don't have to repeat it because you get it. But practicing those habits now, it's going to matter when we play a team like Michigan State. So that's what I love to see out of these games. I know you've seen in the past, you've seen our, you know, we're coming in number one ranked in the nation, number two ranked in the nation, number three ranked in the nation the past few years, or many years in the past. And we play down to teams' levels. You know, we'll be playing a team like Elon, and it'll be a close game in the first half. It's like, whatever that team's talent level is, our energy and talent is at the same level that they are for most of the game. And then Coach K yells at everybody, and then they turn it up a notch, and then they win by 10 or 15. You've seen that early on in the season and throughout the season with a lot of teams, a lot of Duke teams in recent years. It doesn't seem like that's the case this year so far. You know, even last year, even the 2015 team, and another reason why I think a lot of those teams would play two lower talent level teams, play to their level instead of playing at Duke's level, is because we relied on the three-point shot so much. So even when a team was less talented than us or less talented than Duke, they would still bully us, manhandle us, get more rebounds, get offensive rebounds, and get second chance points against Duke. Even though we were more talented, even though we had better shooters, even though we had better all-around talent, we didn't have the size. So if that shot isn't falling on an away game, those teams could still compete. You look at a team like Notre Dame, you know, they have that one energy guy fighting for rebounds, fighting for second chance points, bullying people in the post, Bonzi Colson. That's a difference maker in the whole entire game. It keeps them in the game because we really didn't have someone man enough, strong enough, big enough to throw at him. Now this year, what's so exciting about it is we don't have to rely on the three-point shot. In the past, I like us being the finesse team that throws up threes, that is exciting, that hits 15 threes in a game, 17 threes in a game, wins solely off of that. But I get to thinking about it, and so many of the games that we lost was the fact that the three wasn't falling and we had no other option. You know, we were shooting threes and isolating, everything leading to jump shots, contested layups, and, you know, mid-range shots and threes. The good thing about this year and the most exciting thing about this year is the length and the size and the athleticism. You know, for the fact that, yeah, we're shooting good right now. Gary Trent shooting so good. I've never seen him miss a shot. I know the stat sheet says he missed four or five shots. I've never seen him miss. Grayson Allen, his shot has been falling as well. He's been getting to the basket. making great plays. I'm not even going to talk about his assists right now. I'll get to that in a minute. It's also extremely impressive. But when those shots aren't falling, it looks like you have a multitude of guys crashing the boards, getting offensive rebounds, getting second chance points. Something that we have not seen in a long time. And what looks like it could be the missing piece for this team to win a championship. And that's not even talking about the offensive end of the big men. The offensive end of the high-low, the post. I mean, I know I sound like I'm rambling, but it's just so exciting to see Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter Jr., Marquise Bolden, Javon Delorier, and even Vrankovic crashing the boards, defending the paint, grabbing rebounds. I mean, every time Bagley missed a shot, I swear he tapped it back in the second time. Every time Carter went up for a shot, I swear I saw another big on the other side boxing out, waiting for it to come off the rim. He only missed two shots, so it didn't happen often. But they were still there boxing out. And I know we oversized them, but we oversize everybody. We're bigger than everybody. And we're doing that against undersized teams, but they're also doing that against each other in practice. Bagley and Carter Jr. going up against each other in practice. You're not going to go up against a tougher guy this season. I mean, you will, but not every night. So practicing against those, against each other like they are, same with Gary Trent and Grayson Allen. They look like the, you know, they look like the two best wings in the nation. Obviously, I haven't watched any other wings. But the duo of them look like the best. And one of the things that's made them so good is iron sharpening iron in practice. They're going 5-on-5 all the time in practice against the best of the best against each other. So that's my outlook on the season, is the fact that, yeah, Gary Trent's shot is extremely impressive. And his range is really impressing me, something I wasn't really expecting at this rate so far. So him and Grayson Allen could easily put up 12 threes together in a game at a good percentage. But if they took, you know, if they had off night and they went 1-for-12, we might grab 7 of those misses and put them back for dunks. We very well could do that. And that's the most exciting thing that we have not seen in a long time. We would be throwing up those threes. Oh, it's an away game. They're not falling. You know how bad we are shooting away on the road. But now we're grabbing those rebounds and we're just dunking them back with, you know, full force. It's crazy. It's so exciting. I'm super excited. I'm too excited. I don't even know how to explain it. We just have to watch. That's all I can say. So in this game, Duke made 46 shots. Only 7 threes. They made 46 shots. Bowie State made 18 shots. 46 shots to 18 shots. We also shot and made more free throws than them. With our free throws, I think our bigs are going to be getting fouled a lot this season. I really hope they shoot well from the line. It's something that I know, if you're a diehard Duke fan, which you probably are if you're listening to this, in the past 5 years, you've been watching games where it's been a tight game towards the end of the game, and we've missed one or two free throws here and there, three or four free throws here and there, and I add up the score in the last few possessions where Duke has the ball down 3, Duke has the ball down 5, you know, a minute, 2 minutes to go, and you look back at it, and we missed 7 free throws sent like up to that point, or 8 free throws up to that point, or we missed our last 3 free throws. And you're sitting there, and you just add it up in your head, and you're like, if we would have hit 4 of those free throws, Duke would be up by 1 right now, or some scenario like that. And when you do it, it's just so frustrating because free throws are free. I know, you know, you have to work at them very hard. They're an art. At the end of the day, they're free. Somebody like J.J. Redick, when he goes to the line, you're just like, oh, thank God. Like, this is 2 points right here. For these guys, you know, they're going to get fouled. They're going to oversize people. They're going to go up in the post for layups, dunks, whatever. They're going to get fouled. And if it's a close game, you know, I get a little worried about that. Same with Jahlil Okafor last year. In those UNC games, in the tournament, whatever it is, he would be in the post. Their only choice, you know, they're undersized. They got to foul him. And when it wasn't an and one and he got fouled and he missed a shot, every single time I was like, damn it. Because it should have been 2 points. It should have been 3 points. It turned into 0 or 1 point. Luckily, we were all right. But that could really hurt us. Shot pretty well from the line today. What were we? Let me check real quick. 17 for 22. So that's 77%. That's pretty good. But I really think that's something we're going to have to work on. Moving on. Big thing from today was we did not have our point guard, Trevon Duval. We didn't even have our backup point guard, Jordan Goldwire. But we really did a good job eliminating the turnovers. You know, Grayson Allen, the man just, he's on a mission. I've said it before, he's on a mission. He does all things well at this point. You know, he had 21 points, 5 rebounds. That's not even the most impressive part. He had 11 assists. The ball movement today was just ridiculous. Not to mention he had 11 assists. He only had 2 turnovers. That's great. That shows you that if it comes down to it, you can put the ball in his hands and he's going to make the right play. So that was big for me to see because, you know, Duval, he looks like, you know, his jump shot's struggling. And with him, with this class issue, again, I'm not worried about it. And with him being a freshman, there's always that chance that he can struggle. I think he's going to do good. I think he's a great passer. I think he's going to start at the one. I think he's going to do great. But just saying, seeing this from Grayson, it's good to see that if you have to, you can put the ball in his hands. Along with him having all those assists, it was great to see Gary Trent Jr. had 4 assists. Javon Delorier had 3 assists. Wendell Carter Jr. had 3 assists. Bagley even had 1. A few other guys had 1 here and there. Bolden even had 2. Those bigs making those passes when they're down low, whether it be kicking it out, I saw Bagley get double-teamed a few times. I saw him make a pass out of it, whether it be to the perimeter or whether it be the high-low of, you know, Bolden catches it and then dumps it down to Carter for a dunk. And when I say Bolden and Carter, that could be Bolden and Bagley. That could be Bagley and Carter. It was great to see them. You know, the ball's not sticking anywhere. They're making good passes and they're making good shots. They're taking good shots and they're rebounding their shots and then they're taking more good shots. So the ball movement, the passing, the assist, the bigs passing, the bigs running the floor, Grayson Allen running the point and running it very well. Those were all great things to see. I saw him make a full court pass like Aaron Rodgers at one point to Bagley. I saw him make a pass in transition to Bolden, who caught it, did a spin, dunk and one, made the free throw on the and one. I tweeted that out. He liked it. So I think he's having fun, you know, with him coming off the bench and him, you know, he's not starting right now. I don't know if he's going to make his way into the starting lineup the way the team looks. You know, the big lineup where Wendell Carter's at the 3 and then Bolden and Bagley also in the lineup, that looked good today. Of course, we went to that because Duval set out. Golwar set out. So we had Allen and Gary Trent. We needed the bigs, all three bigs in the lineup at one point. I think that could be something that you see them go to because of the success of how skilled they are. You know, Wendell and Bagley, they can both stretch the floor. Bolden's looking quick on his feet. Everyone's tweeting me saying they love what they saw from Bolden. I love what I saw from Bolden, too. Looked like his mind was in it. It looks like he's quicker than last year. He's more in tune than last year, more energetic than last year. That's great to see from him because he could be a key piece of why we fail or why we succeed. So for him, love what I saw from him. Everyone tweeting me, they love what they saw from him. How could you not? He looked great. But when I say that, I mean it's hard to just talk about one person because every single person looked great. With Gary Trent Jr., man, he gets off to such a hot start, and his range has been so impressive up until this point. Hitting threes at a high rate, high percentage. Mid-range look like he has a mid-range like DeMar DeRozan. He just goes in there, does some weird shit, and throws one up, and it goes in, and it looks like a great shot. And I think that's just from growing up. You know, his dad was an NBA player. He knows what it takes. He knows the mindset. He's focused. He loves playing. He loves competing. He's a dog. He's a competitor. He's lengthy on defense. He had a couple steals. He loves competing, and he loves winning. You can tell just by these first two games watching him. He's not selfish. He may be cocky, but I think all of them are a little bit. They have a right to be. I just love that swagger and that bulldog mentality that he brings to this team. Mixed with the skill that he has, with the jump shot that he has. He ran the point for a little bit. He looked good. I preached it before they even played that he was going to be a big-time player. He reminded me of the role that Justice Winslow had where it was like, oh, you know, we got all these high recruits and everybody is so high up on the radar that he almost flew under the radar a little bit. But he's not under anyone's radar now at all. He's a lot of people's favorite player. He's been the surprise for a lot of people. He's not surprising me. The only thing that has surprised me is how well he's shooting. You know, he almost reminds me of DeMar DeRozan with a better shot. Like the way he plays. And the thing is, DeMar DeRozan's peaked out. You know, he's 27, 28. He's getting into his prime. He's in his prime. Gary Trent's 19. His physical build looks like DeMar DeRozan, too, at age 19. So big things from him. Key player this year. Man, where do we go from there? As I said, everyone rebounded missed shots. Grayson and Gary Trent both had 5 rebounds. They've preached that rebounding is important to them as well. Hustling is important to them as well. Everybody looks like they're on a mission. It's exciting to see. You know, I preach the offensive rebounds. I preach how important it is, how exciting it is to see them. We're getting more shots than any, you know, we should have more shot attempts than any team every game this year from our offensive rebounds. If we don't, then it should be seen as a failure almost. Same way with Carolina last year. So many second chance points, such a high percentage of rebounding their own missed shots. You know, you hated them for it, but it's so exciting when your team is doing that. Because, again, like I said, you don't have to rely on the jump shot. But it's still there with Grayson and Gary Trent. I'm just too excited. Like, this team just has me too excited. I know the little suspensions and everything. Other than that, is going well. And I don't think that's going to be a problem in the future. So, I talked about the high-low action. The ball movement. Bagley passing out of the double. How the whole team is practicing good habits. Regardless of who they're playing. They're playing to their level of competition. Not whoever they're playing level of competition. The guards are shooting extremely well, but even when they're not, Duke is crashing the offensive rebounds, the offensive glass, ferociously. So much energy contesting shots in the paint, so much energy rebounding, so much energy on the putback dunks. Not one single player to me has disappointed yet. Everyone is living up to, or for the most part, exceeding expectations. The one player who, you know, I preach again, Trayvon Duval, he looked fine in that first game. He didn't look amazing. But there's going to be some games where a player that you're expecting to do great does mediocre just for the fact of how much talent we have. And you only saw him for basically one half for the most part as far as competitive. And, you know, he set out today, so we didn't get to see what he would have looked like today. So he hasn't disappointed me. We just haven't seen a lot of him yet. And I think if he starts next Saturday against Elon, against an experienced team, a team that's returning most of their starters, I think you're going to see a lot more of him, and I think we can talk about him more after that, and I'd expect him to do well. So he's the only guy that hasn't exceeded expectations just because, you know, we haven't really saw much of him to even judge that. Again, please go to class. But other than that, I'm excited to see more of him. And then again, you know, limiting the turnovers, that's amazing to see. Because you got to think now, if we turn the ball over, that's technically, it could even be three shot attempts off of one turnover that we miss. You know, if we turn the ball over, that could have been a jump shot, a rebound, a putback dunk. It could have been at the high percentage we're shooting, it's almost giving away points every single time you turn the ball over. So to see that we're limiting that and that the guards aren't turning it over that much at all and that the bigs aren't hardly at all, it's great to see. So everything that I'm seeing, everything that we're seeing is huge. Carter had 14 rebounds. That's 8 offensive rebounds. That's ridiculous. I know the size, it plays a factor. But that's such a good thing to see early. You know, Bagley had 10 rebounds. That's 3 offensive rebounds. As I said, Grayson Allen, Gary Trent, both had 5 apiece. And then Bolden had 8. You know, it's super exciting, man. We put up 69 points in the first half alone, shooting at a rate of 70%. So, the exhibition games are done. We play at Duke on Saturday against Elon. Rematch from when Grayson tripped Santa Ana. I was at that game. It was pretty hostile. It was a lot of emotions, a lot of energy. We struggled a little bit. So, I'm excited for that game. I know the Cameron Crazies are going to give Elon a hard time. That's what they do. I live about 10 minutes from Elon. There's some real dickheads at Elon. They hate Grayson Allen. Me and Presley, sometimes we go to a bar up there or a restaurant up there wearing Duke stuff. And, you know, you got some little frat boys and some, you know, intoxicated people that will give you a hard time for wearing Duke stuff up there. But I think I might do that this week because, you know, we get some enjoyment out of that. I like hostile territory. I like when Duke smashes someone and it's like, yeah, we're wearing Duke stuff. What can you honestly say? You lost by 49. What can you say? So, that game's going to be exciting. It's going to be good to see how they play against a step up from what they've been playing. More size, more experience from what they've been playing. I'll be excited for that game. We'll be in to recap that on Saturday. Well, is it Saturday or Friday? Let me verify that. I don't want to sound stupid. I think I do sound stupid. That game will be on Friday, November 10th. So we'll be back on Friday to recap Duke versus Elon. Hopefully Grayson drops 50. Wouldn't be mad at that. Wouldn't be mad if he dunks on a few people, if he shuts up a few people. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully everybody will play. No more suspensions, no more bullshit. Everybody looks healthy. Everybody looks good. It's good to see. Quick touch on what everyone was talking about after the game today. The big-to-big passing for this team is amazing. Trent is an elite bucket getter. That's what someone tweeted. I couldn't agree more. That's basically what we were just talking about. Trent's range and percentage that he's shooting at and the decisions that he's making are looking completely, you know, they're exceeding expectations. He's not playing like a freshman. He doesn't look like a freshman. And then again, we talked about the big-to-big passing. It looked great today. And you just, if you're an opposing team and you have to go against that and you're watching the film and you're watching what you're about to have to go up against, it's got to be intimidating because, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to double team? Like, okay, it looks like they can pass out of the double team just fine. So you're going to leave an open shooter or you're going to leave an open guy who's just going to dunk the fuck out of the ball. We saw it today. How many dunks did they have? They had like 40 dunks. And if it wasn't a dunk from a good pass, it was a dunk from, oh shit, I missed this. I'm going to grab it and then go back up and dunk it. What are you going to do about it? That's exciting. This person said Carter plays at his pace. He's so smooth. Trent's going to fill it up. Grayson is great. Bolden looks aggressive. Bagley's so good, but needs to be patient. So that's basically everything we were preaching about. It's hard to compliment one person because everybody's doing so well. Carter, probably, to me, player of the game today. Just how smooth he looked, as this person said. How energetic he looked, grabbing rebounds ferociously, as I said. Playing at his pace. Looked amazing. Trent, it looks like Grayson doesn't have to be. The good thing about all this talent is Grayson's finding open lanes, open shots, playing freely, not forcing a single thing. I think the whole team doesn't have to force a single thing because all of the talent on the floor at one time. That goes for everybody. But especially for Grayson, because you saw when he's healthy and when he has a true point guard or when there's talent on the floor, you know, he comes off a screen, he's open in the corner, he has an open driving lane because nobody can leave who they're with. And if they do leave, he makes the right play. And if he puts up the shot that's contested, there's 2 7-footers there to put it back if he misses. Super exciting. I feel like I've just repeated the same thing while talking about a different player or a different, you know, situation. But it's just too exciting. I haven't been this excited in a long time since, you know, last year. So it hasn't been that long of a time, but that was a little bit of a letdown. Moving on. This person said, if we all go to class, or if Duke all goes to class, they'll be unbeatable. Good point. This person said, if we stay healthy, Duke will be very dangerous. Imagine how good we'll be come March. That's also very true. Health is important. This person said, Gary Trent Jr. has been my biggest surprise. Way better shooter than I could have ever expected. Would like to see Bagley and Carter step out and shoot more. Gary Trent Jr. has been a surprise. I thought he'd be big. I knew he'd start, I figured. But his shooting has impressed me a lot. Bagley and Carter stepping out and shoot more, I don't know about that right now, just for the fact that, you know, I like the percentage and point totals that they're putting up by posting up, passing it to each other, and dunking it. So, if that works, I don't want to see you shooting right now because of how good that's working. You know, we're kind of playing inside out, and I haven't seen that in a while, and I love it. This person said, thoughts on the possibility of going three big guys at a time, how frequent? At times, it was Vrank, Marvin Bagley, and Carter. Played well with that group, and Grayson and Gary, but also against a very weak opponent. Yep, we're playing weak opponents right now, exhibition. But the three bigs did look good, no matter which bigs it were at a time. The three bigs with a very oversized guy at the three, like a Wendell Carter, it looked really good. I don't know how often that's going to happen. We'll just have to see, situational, based on the matchup of which game, what personnel we're playing against, what's working that day, that minute, what's working, what the game plan they want to go is. You know, it's like Trent and Allen are rebounding really well, so we're not getting killed on that. But it's hard to sit some of these guys, so I don't really know what he's going to do. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see this depth. I'm excited to see how the coaching staff uses this depth, especially with how everyone's exceeding expectations. So I'm not really sure. The three big lineup, it looks really good, but so does the Duval, Trent, Allen, Carter, Bagley. So I think it's situational. And I'm excited. You know, if we're playing against a team that's pretty big, we might run three bigs more often and show, like, oh, your team likes to bully people. You're not going to bully us. We're going to bully you. How's it feel? And then even if a team can get out and run and they push the pace and they push the flow of the game, that doesn't really bother Duke. Duval, Allen, and Gary Trent can push the pace just fine. But you know who else is running the floor like they're a 6'5 guard? Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter and even Bolden. So it don't matter who we have out there. It just matters what works best and getting guys rest at the right time. So that's huge for me. I like both. I like the three guards. I like the three bigs. I like it all. Last thing. Next week, RJ Barrett, Canadian number one player for next year, will be announcing his college decision. And it's between the big schools, as usual. Let's take a look at him real quick. Somebody asked me thoughts on RJ Barrett committing. We already have Trey Jones, Cam Reddish, and whoever returns from this season, which you know people are going to return. Somebody is. Obviously, Goldwire, O'Connell. I'm definitely not trying to look too far ahead. I'm trying to enjoy this season. I'm trying to enjoy every single minute of this year. Like I said, if we go undefeated this year, if Duke doesn't lose a single game, they breeze through the season, win the championship, I might retire from being a fan of basketball. I might never watch another game of basketball again for the fact that it'll never get better. So, anyways, if you do want to look ahead to next year, the good news is we're already getting set up to be the number one team again. So you can just keep that in the back of your head for a kind of, you know, like, oh, at least I don't have to worry too bad about next year. As for RJ Barrett, I'm not 100% positive. I felt like I was 100% sure that Trey Jones would commit to Duke. And it was basically 100% guarantee that Cam Reddish would as well. That's just what everyone was speculating, and that's basically what it was. And it came true, came to fruition. With RJ Barrett, I would say it's close to sure thing that he comes to Duke. I would say there's that little, could he surprise some people? That's very possible, I think. But my prediction, RJ Barrett to Duke. I think he wants to get it out of the way early. I think he wants everybody to know, like, you know what I'm coming for next year. Seems like a good kid. Again, I don't look too far into recruiting. It kind of feels like a job, and there's plenty of people that are deep into recruiting that would love to talk all day about potential recruits and everything. For me, I feel like it's more of a thing to worry about them once they commit, then start becoming obsessed with what are they good at and things of that nature, how they're going to help the team, how they'll fit in, etc. You know, I can't be obsessed with Zion Williamson right now. I don't think he's going to go to Duke. I really don't at all think Zion Williamson will come to Duke. So I'm not going to go study him, but I will watch his dunk highlight tape because he looks like he was made in a Nike lab somewhere. Out of mechanical superhero body parts. But for RJ Barrett, commits next week. I think he commits, is it on Friday? Same day that Duke plays. Let me check. Anyways, I really think Barrett will be at Duke. Sorry for that pause. It's hard to scroll on Twitter for a few seconds and talk at the same time. He is going to make his decision on Friday, November 10th, so I was correct. Same day Duke plays Elon. I will put my prediction down again, Duke, for RJ Barrett, which would be a huge get along with Cam Reddish and Trey Jones and the returners. I mean, you're already setting yourself up with an extreme amount of talent that can mesh extremely well. True point guard, athletic wings, more size, more length, more energy, more athleticism. It's exciting, man. It's really exciting. And we don't even have to think about that because we have the most exciting season ahead right now. So that's that. I'm glad these exhibition games happened, and I'm glad they're done. I am ready to see some real competition. I'm ready to see this team up against some real competition and see how they react when, you know, they push and a team pushes back a little bit. I think they're going to react very well. I'm excited to see it. That's that for this episode. Hope you'd enjoy it. Or I can't talk. It's time to go eat. I hope you enjoyed it. We will be setting up some good content, good formats, good things coming. Appreciate you rocking with me, rocking with the whole thing we got going on. We're all obsessed with Duke basketball, and that's what it is. So thank you. Have a great weekend. Watch some sports. Enjoy November. It's all starting now. The road to championship number 6 for Duke and Coach K. Couldn't be more excited. We'll be back on Friday to recap the first official game of this season. It's going to be a good year. I'm not even worried about jinxing it. I'm not worried about last year, any of that. I'm worried about this year, and I'm excited for this year. Looks like everyone's exceeding or living up to expectations. It looks like everyone wants to win, and it looks like everyone is on the same mission and goal and mindset. Only thing I want to see somebody step up with a voice. You know, Grayson, he's a little quiet. Duvall, he's extremely quiet. Gary Trent, he is outspoken. I want to see somebody step up as a voice. To where, you know, when times are tough, when we're in a tight moment, when everybody needs to come together, I want to see who's going to grab everybody, pull them together, and say, you know, we take our stand right here. Let's all do this, blah, blah, blah. Let's fucking go. The way Matt Jones, Emil, Quinn Cook, you know, people like that did, we need somebody this year to do that. I think it could be Javin. I think it could be Gary Trent. I think it could be Grayson. I think it could be, you know, everybody's so on the quiet side, but somebody has to do it. We need, or we just need everybody to collectively do it. They all look like they're on the same page. They all look like they're all, you know, for each other succeeding as a cohesive unit. So we just need somebody to step up and just pull them all together when it matters. And I think we'll be fine. But I'm interested to see who steps up in that aspect. Have an outstanding weekend. Thank you for listening. Appreciate all of you. Sites, Duke gang, go Duke. I'm out.